So now we got like this. I sent out the links, but the links are really, the point is more important than the actual links themselves. The links themselves is that in our Torah, in five separate places, those are the five links I sent out, the holidays are mentioned. Shalosh Ragot. And we lay them a lot on the, we lay away from Parshas Re. If you remember, we lay from Parshas Emor. We lay these on the Yom Tov. Five times it mentions. In all five places, if I remember correctly, you guys could check the links, 99% sure. In all five places, it mentions, we're talking about Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos. Some of them mention the other ones as well, but the five, those always mentioned, Shalosh Ragot, Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos. In all five, it mentioned, by the way, by Pesach, Kimat. Okay, makes sense, right? Second part of the open. Trivial pursuit question, Michael. Of the five places, how many times do you think it mentions Sukkot? We shocked them the answer.
None.
Now, you could say one was going to discuss right now. It might be one. I would say one with an asterisk because it's probably zero with an asterisk. It depends how you want to look at it. So in our, not our, but we did this partial last week and the class went so well, so we're going to go back to it. In the 23rd parak of Gimel and Emor, it starts with the...
Wait. Leviticus 23.
Yes.
The living boots. That's circuits right there.
Wait. Yes. Perfect. Oh, that's doing right now. We're doing that. Is that what starts? 23 Pasuk 1 starts out with general festivals. Hashem spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel, say to Hashem, point to the festival. General, okay. Pasuk 4, the year of calendar year of festivals goes by Nisan. Pasuk 4 starts Pesach. That's till Pasuk 9. 9 starts the Omer, then goes Shavuos. Rosh Hashanah starts at 23. In between, we had last week's thing about the fields. 23 starts Rosh Hashanah. Fine. 26, I don't know where else we missed the thing here, starts Yom Kippur. 33 starts Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres. And then we go till, I'm going to say till 37, Pasuk 37. It says like this, like what we call a summary at the end of it. These are the appointed festivals of Hashem that you shall proclaim as holy convocations to offer a fire offering to Hashem. Eila, I think everyone screams Eila at this point. Eila Maya Day, Hashem Hashem Tikvas Mayitam. Which is like almost we start with Beidav Shalom Hashem, Dabu Nisrael, that's how it starts. And now, the Amatale Mayed Hashem, these are the festivals. In the end, Pasuk 37 of the festivals. That's besides, and that's part of the side from Shabbos. Sounds a good secret. These are the festivals and the meal offerings, the feast offerings. 38, besides from Shabbos, aside from the gifts you want to give. 39, that's after the game, after the summary. What do you guys call it in the law contract? It's like, well, in the rental for your car, it's like page 18 and fine print, right? Verse 39 is what Charles just said, correct. That's why it's one with an asterisk. But on the 15th, don't forget something. I signed it out. These are the festivals. These are the lists. These are the festivals. Oh, but remember, on the seventh month, when you gather the crop of the land, you shall celebrate a festival 7-day period. We already mentioned this before. Take for yourselves a lulav and lulav, esrog, and sukkah. But that's really what you could say is a postscript, good word, to these. And in the other four places, nothing. Matz is mentioned, sukkah is not. Easy question. Question number two, asked by many of the early Rishonim. Many of the early Rishonim. You go into a sukkah Friday night, make a special blessing. You commanded me to sit in a sukkah. Friday night, this year, first day Yom Tov, obligation to eat, biblical obligation to eat the sukkah, bread, fine. You walk out Friday night, you go inside the house, not for 3 seconds. No one's left at the meal. Meal's over, you sit on the couch, and you go back out. You want to eat dessert. Half hour later, you make the blessing again. The next morning, you can end up making this blessing 15 times a day. Depends on how often you're going in and out of your sukkah. And eating. We don't make a lashon without eating. That's a separate thing. But it's really, you're supposed to make it every time. Just you don't make it on nothing, so you want to eat something. So if you're going out, back in, and you can land up popping out this blessing, pick a normal time. I'm serious, 15 times a day. It's not even crazy. 5 times for sure. It depends how often you want to eat and stuff like that. How many guests are showing up to your house? Okay. That goes out through 7 days. Matzah. Asher kachanu, mitzvotzim etzivanu. Hashem command us to eat matzah. How often do you think you say that matzah bracha? Do you even remember? Do you say that? One time, let us say the night.
In Israel, one day in Israel.
One time. Oh, okay, that's two. Good point. Right, 2 days. The Rishonim asked this question. Balamar, what happened to the 7 days matzah? Why is one matzah covered 7 days? And Sukkah doesn't get covered. What's the difference? What's the difference between matzah and sukkah? A very simple question. Asked by the early commentators already. They all, and now, if you want to say, for you guys that think ahead of me, well, matzah is only mitzvah the first night, okay. We don't really rule the way. There are Gemaras that seem to say, Vilna Gaon seems to say, the Bach seems to say, look at Mechas Tenef Pesach, I don't remember what page I should have said it, but we definitely discuss how eating matzah throughout the 7 days is mitzvah.
But it's,
we'll say, Eric's thinking, not obligatory mitzvah, a voluntary mitzvah.
First night is
it's more, but let's go through sukkah. The first night you must eat the sukkah bread. The rest of the holiday, if you want to go Atkins diet and just liquid diet, you don't have to go back to the sukkah. We recommend it. It's a mitzvah. You don't have to. You're drinking. You can technically drink outside the sukkah.
I don't eat hamotzi or mizonos that week, so I'm not obligated to go to sukkah.
Right.
I'll eat salad. I'll eat fish.
Obviously, he wants to do the mitzvahs because he can't because of those situations.
Because we don't have a circuit.
Right, we don't have a circuit. Just clarify by the tape. Someone's going to say, what's with this guy? He always says, good question. Now he sounds like a good guy. Right. So when you don't have a circuit, no, I want to clarify. I'm telling you. So you don't have to. It's nice, but realistic, you don't have one. So you just find out not eating bread or cakes and stuff like that. All the details we're not getting into right now. You don't have to eat matzah for 7 days of Pesach. When you eat the matzah, well, you'll get a mitzvah. When you eat bread and go into the circuit, you'll get a mitzvah. So why, early commentators, when you want to do this like this, when they're the same level of obligation, you both get a mitzvah, but you're not obligated to do a mitzvah, you're not forced, but you should. Why is one getting a blessing every single time, one not? Very, very famous question. We're going to give an approach based on what we discussed tonight. That when you, since, we're going to do it now, since every time it mentions Pesach, it mentions matzah, they go hand in hand. We discussed a while ago, I don't remember what we, that when we make a bracha in the morning on Torah, and then we go and do a million things, we don't come back and make a bracha again on Torah. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because they didn't make a bracha right before they learned. It's a serious thing. We don't do that. Why not? So the answer given is that because when you make a bracha in the morning, your mind is there the whole day. And we assume everyone in this room, all the Klai Yisrael, always has their mind on Torah all day, whatever they're doing. Matzah is the same thing. It's an integral part of Passover. Every time you say the word Pesach, you mention the word matzah. You know why? It's integral to the concept of Pesach. Since it's integral, every time we're going to tell you about Pesach, we'll tell you about matzah. Just like when you make it, instead of saying in the morning, you make it night one, it's applicable for 7 days because you're observing the holiday for 7 days. So since you're observing the holiday for 7 days, every time you say the holiday, it says matzah. So of course, you don't have to make a bracha every time. Just like when you go out to work, you don't come home, make a bracha on Torah as well. But sukkah, I don't know what the option B is. Since sukkos, the holiday, is not integral, the sukkah is not integral to the holiday of sukkos. Therefore, you have to think of bracha again every single time. You're not necessarily thinking about that. Even though we call it sukkos, but you see, we barely mentioned it. It's only as an asterisk later on. It's not the integral part of the holiday. Since it's not the integral part of the holiday, it's like everything you do in life. You ate food, you walked outside, you came an hour later. On a regular day, eat again, make a bracha again. Go outside, come back in, make another bracha, of course, because my whole day is not food. So every time I do it again, I got to do it again. On every mitzvah in the world that's not integral to who you are, make a bracha again. Take off your towels and shul and come back in, make the bracha again. Oh, towels mean something to me. That's not the way it works. Towels are not integral to who you are. You wear a towels by davening, you walked out to go to the bathroom, took it off, make a bracha when you put it back on, because it wasn't integral. But the matzah, like on Pesach, is equal to the Torah to a Jew. Not because it's matzah, it's more chashuv. Because that is what the holiday represents. The whole holiday in the Torah, by the way, is called something Chag HaMatzos as well. Let's see what sukkah is in a second. It's called because that's what it is. So you made the bracha night one, you're good to go. Now it could be, according to this, if you would not have made that bracha the first night, you could be the first time you did the matzah, you'd have to make that bracha. Separate downhill slide, we're not going down. Possibly. But sukkah, you don't have to be in the sukkah. It's not a table. It's the whole sukkah we're going to discuss in a second what it is. So now you got to come to what is the integral part of sukkah. Now, fascinatingly, which seems to be quoted in many of the five places I just told you, when I mentioned the holiday of sukkah, does mention this. The essence, good word, the essence of the holiday of sukkah is simcha.
Happiness. Zman simcha seinu.
Zman simcha seinu. Simcha seinu is the essence of what it is. By the way, they quote, I think, from a client asking, maybe the Vilna Gaon, even if I remember correctly, they asked, you know, one of these, they always ask them, they always drove them crazy and asked them wild questions. But it could be a Vilna Gaon, I'm kind of guessing. What's the most difficult mitzvah in the Torah? And he said, Simchat Sukkos. Now, I'm assuming what he meant is because he yelled it every single second. But I think for one second, with a bottle of wine the size of China, it's possible to be in a decent mood for a few seconds. But I'm not sure. But it could be he meant the entire time. But the essence of the holiday is this. How far, I'm going to tell you something that we've discussed in this class many times. Everything we have is backward, especially holidays. Bent to one of my books I found on writing is the backwardness of everything we taught in school. I think a few weeks ago I said it, that in the Gemara's time, it's called the Tkiyas of Midyushev, when you sit down Tkiyas, and the standing Tkiyas. And the sit down Tkiyas are the first 30. And the standing Tkiyas, which we all stand everything, are during Shemesu, which some people are sitting actually. Depends on how long your Shemesu is, when something blows, if you vote during the private Shemesu or not, there are people who are definitely sitting down. But the first 30 won't stand. Gemara calls the opposite. There are a lot of things that, for some reason, have opposite. Let's go for the easy one first. Pesach. Avraham Avinu, it's better be taken. Avraham Avinu was told at Bris Ben Absar, Pasha's Lech Lecha, that your people are going to be in a land that's not theirs, and they're going to come out 400 years. 400 years. It didn't happen 400 years, whatever that phrase means, depends where you count it from, whatever, how you're going to do that. They were there, and they left Egypt. And according to Rashi, I forgot where it is right now, I got to look for it, they left exact time from when the original statement was made. Might be 4:30, they're from Sukkim, exact time. Which means, if you're standing there with a camera and you're watching the world go by, and Moshe Rabbeinu shows up, free, let my people go. No, I will not let them go. The whole thing. I'm going to bring a plague. Plague one comes, then plague two comes. As it's going, the world's becoming an interesting place. And then, fifth, God tells them at Rosh Chodesh Nisan, take out an animal. This is going to happen. Let me tell you what's going on here. And then they get out, 15th of Nisan. And you know what you say? Let's celebrate Pesach. You know why we're celebrating Pesach? Because on the 15th of Nisan, the Jews left Egypt. It's backward. You know why the Jews left Egypt the 15th of Nisan? Celebrate Pesach. Because Hashem had told Avram 400 years earlier, they're going to leave, check the clock, put the line on the wall when they're going to leave. The Jews had to leave at that day. It wasn't they left that day, so we celebrated. Now, why did they have to leave on that day? Because Hashem, when he said, I'm going to let you out on that day, because that's what the clock says. The clock says you're going to leave then. So we think ourselves we're celebrating because we left, but we left because we have to celebrate. Is that following? It's a backward way of looking at things. It's the right way of looking at things. One time a person came to Reb Chaim or the Beis Halevi, one of them who says this idea, and he said, you should know something. I was a very successful guy, and I invested for wood, the old days, invested in wood, and I bought a forest from the county. I invested in a forest. You're not going to believe it, it burned down. It was the worst decision. I lost all my money. I told him, you think it burned down, that's why you lost your money? God decreed on Hashem to lose your money. The moment you invested in the forest had to disappear. If you'd invested in something else, it also would have disappeared. It's not that we look at everything as that happened, therefore this. No. Too many times we're holding the mirror and we don't realize it's the mirror. When we're waving our right hand in the mirror, I said a million times, it looks like your left hand is waving, but really your right hand's waving. You just don't realize it because you look in the mirror. You start asking, what's going on? It's like you get a weird thing as a kid, right? Because a lot of things we're looking at, we have human eyes, human everything's backward. Now, here's what's going to go. Zman Sim Chasen. The holiday of Sukkot, the essence of the holiday is Zman Sim Chasen. What comes, is it in general, when you want to say A and B? Does B come after A or does A come before B? So many rabbis will tell you that what happens, why do you have Zman Sim Chasen? You know what happens? You're going to Rosh Hashanah. You anoint God as your king. We discussed last week. You're going to Yom Kippur. Now you know he's your king. Now God says, you're my king. I can forgive you. Forgives you. You're home free. New slate. Brand new start. And you're in a good mood. Brand new start. What came first? You were freed. You would start the clock over. Now you're in a good mood. But many of the rabbis say it's the other way around. God set up Sukkot on purpose for his Zman Sim Chasen, for a time that he wants you to be in a good mood. How is Hashem going to have Jews in a good mood? Now he's going to have Jews in a good mood? He's going to make sure that all your sins are forgiven before him. So that's what you care about. So we asked last week also why Rosh Hashanah and Kippur is the beginning of the year. That was our question from last year, last week from the Ar Samach, Meshach Chochma Ar Samach.
Right, as opposed to in Nisan.
As opposed to Nisan time. But they didn't. You know why you had to have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur now? Because Hashem said Sukkot is coming up. And Sukkot is Zman Sim Chasenu. Sukkot, you have to be in a good mood. How am I going to get you in a good mood? I'm not going to get you in a good mood. I'm going to tell them here's a holiday where you're going to fast and get forgiven. And the Jews walk out in a good mood. Yom Kippur doesn't create the good mood for Sukkos. The necessary requirement to have a good mood for Sukkos, God said, I'll forgive everything before him. Other way around. But the idea of the essence of the holiday is going to be Sukkos is going to be Simcha. The essence of the holiday of Sukkos is that. Now, I'll tell you a step more. We have, which we said in other times, Sukkos and Simchas Torah are technically two separate holidays. It's observed at the same time, but it's two separate holidays. We even say a different, you don't say Zman Simchas Seinu. Right? We have Chag Shemini Atzeres Hazeh, whatever the exact phrase is. I don't know you said that. Right? It's not the exact same thing. It's possible to say, we have both ways to look at it right now, it's possible to say that the requirement of Simcha on Sukkos, among the requirements of Simcha on Sukkos, is as a prerequisite, or we're going to go the other way, for Torah, Simcha Torah Diyat. We have to be in a festive mood to fully appreciate what the Torah is about. We have to be in a good place of mind to accept the Torah. As it says by Shavuos, the Jews had to be unified when they accepted the Torah. There has to be unification. That's a good mood. People in bad moods don't unify. People in good moods, everyone forgives everyone with each other. But the essence of the holiday is not sitting in a sukkah. Of course, we want you to do that. It's not the essence of the holiday. The essence of the holiday is to be in a great mood. Zman Simchas Seinu. And because it's Zman Simchas Seinu, every time you go into a sukkah, secondary, non-integral, make a blessing again. Why does Yom Kippur come then? It's because Yom Kippur is here to pre... Now, I want to say, let me say the word I want to say, okay, that there's a famous question we brought up in this class seven times. A litmus test. How do you know certain things? So there's a famous Sfas Emes, which I quoted about a year or two ago, and it said that how do you know how much God loves you and how much you enjoy your Shabbos? Tough one. Sfas Emes. It's tough one. How much you enjoy your Shabbos is God sending you like a message how much he loves you at that time, whatever it means. I want to say this. How much do you want to know if you're happy or not? What's the litmus test for happiness? So I saw a study one time years ago. Brilliant idea. I forgot the name of the study offhand right now. One of these like Ariely, you know, the Tahani, you know those guys? The economists, emotional guys, what do you call those guys? You know that group of scientists? Not scientists, what do they call those guys? Behavioral analysis scientists. Oh, yeah. Okay. He said like this. If you go over to a group of people, Cooper and Fondos, yeah, and you have two questions. You do it two separate groups. And you say, first group, let's say, not us in this room, we'll assume my high school kids, we'll ask them, okay, post-high school, how much is being married important to you right now? Ask a bunch of single girls or boys who are looking to get married. And they'll say, it's high up there. And I'm pretty bummed out that I'm still single. Okay. And so, okay, in general, what do you think your happiness level is at? Usually, it's going to be right around that number. So they'll say, I'm only at a 4 because I'm, God forbid, 38, not married. What's your general happiness? It'll be a 5 or a 3. So be right there. But if you reverse the questions, I've done them in classes and after, and you first come in and say, how happy are you in general? And they'll give whatever number they give, 4, 6, 7, 8, doesn't make a difference. And then you ask them, what's the most important thing in your life? Dating? What's your happiness level on that one? It doesn't always correlate. Because when you first plant in your head a generalization, that specific item doesn't affect you that much. When I first ask you about the specific item, it's now in your head, I'm not married, that takes over the whole equation of how happy you are. That makes sense what I just said? It's one of these behavioral things. The general question can overtake the singular question, and they don't have to be right next to each other. The singular question is going to affect, if it's asked first, it's going to affect the general question. So I ask you, what's the litmus test? How do you know if someone's happy? Possible to say. When you go into a sukkah, you're giving up your worldly things. You're sitting on a folding chair. The leaves are going into your soup. It's a little chilly. It's a little cramped, a little claustrophobic coming on. I don't know why this guy's sitting next to me. Doesn't look like he took a shower last week, right? And you're a little cramped. How good of a mood are you? The litmus test. We gave a mitzvah sukkah. Charles asked before, if sukkah's not the main thing, what's the main thing? Now reverse it. We have the main thing. What's the point of the sukkah? Of course, the Torah gives real reasons. But maybe we can say that the sukkah is the litmus test to prove how happy you really are. When you're sitting in the sukkah, are you comfortable with everyone around you? Met those relatives I didn't want to see in 2 years? They invited themselves over for dessert. What? Am I actually going to sit here now for 3 hours with them in a cramped sukkah and it's raining? It looks like it's going to rain tomorrow and it's already bothering me, right? The idea is, if you're really in a good place, these things don't affect you. When you're sitting in the sukkah, it's a litmus test to your true happiness. So the reason we give the sukkah, again, a reason we give the mitzvah sukkah is to tell you the main part of this holiday is going to be all about simcha. What you want to know what the simcha is about? How do you feel about sitting outside in a little bit off weather, not the same cheer? It takes an extra 2 minutes to get the soup. It's not right there in the kitchen. How do you feel about it? That's your test. So the more, now we have to, we got to do the hardest mitzvah. If we're failing, either Chaim would have only gone and said it's the hardest mitzvah to do, so we're okay. It's a difficult mitzvah. True happens. Now, they want to say, a lot of the rabbis say, that when you realize everything in this world is transient, and it's all, we call them sukkah derech harai. What's the word for derech harai? Sukkah derech harai. What means it's not permanent. It's the other word for opposite of permanent. A house is a permanent dwelling, and a sukkah is a temporary. When you realize, a lot of rabbis said it's not me, correctly so, when you realize that this traveling we're doing now is temporary, most issues don't bother you that much. The religious ones do. Everything else doesn't bother you that much. Why not? It's temporary, who cares? It's tough. We don't understand this, but that concept behind it is unbelievable. The transient life makes a lot of things very sad. The hippie movement was created on that, if I might say that even out loud. What's amazing is, Kaf HaChaim is like a Mishnah Berurah for Svarim. Quote, I think he quotes from Chaim Palahniuk. I think so. But I might be wrong who he quotes from. And Hilchos Sukkah, the beginning, till 10 seconds, I got to think of this. I'm very proud of myself. I thank you guys for this. He says that if someone is careful in the midst of Sukkah, it's a skula, a good omen for Shalom Bayis, peace of the house. And if I remember, it's because the Pasuk says somewhere Sukkah Shalom, which really means a full Sukkah, but Shalom play on words. But I might be wrong about that. That might be the way someone defined it. I don't know. It's all founds come to this now. But we can say that when you understand what the Sukkah means, the Diris Arai, the transient life creates true happiness with the goal of this is. The goal of this is to then go and accept yourself a Torah. That's what we're doing here now. The goal is to be happy to be able to accept yourself the Torah. Everything else is transient. And are you really going to care if your wife does X, Y, and Z? Or if she screams about you doing X, Y, and Z? The idea is that in the theme of what we're about is that the Sukkot holiday is about understanding what life is really about, but more so to reach true happiness. That's what it's about. I love the way Marco said it. I wouldn't think of it, but it's right. Zman Simchas Hayim, the essence of the holiday. You want what's true happiness, inner happiness. Right, not partying. And the transient idea of sitting in a sukkah, I'm saying is a litmus test, but it's also the motivation to realize what's important. Get out of the real thing, because we're all here. Limited time. Clock is ticking on all of us. We're all 38, 47 minutes older than we were at the beginning of this class. I wish you the best. I'm hoping everyone does well. Everyone should have a chag kosher v'sameach, crucial word sameach on sukkahs. We get to the essence of it, and we get to the true happiness, and with our wives, not against our wives. Amen. Yeah.